Praise the Lord. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Good to see everybody here tonight. I know of course, the students of the school are excited. Tomorrow's their actual first day of class. And so they're getting ready. Some of them with fear and trembling, not knowing what bestows them, you know, what awaits them. You know, hopefully they're not like Paul, who was headed to Jerusalem, and every place he went before that, he said, you know, bonds and afflictions abide you. Sometimes how many of you found this? That seems like you take a step towards obeying God, and, you know, things start happening. Well, that's not the indicator that you miss God. Glory to God. You know, you think about it, why would the devil, if you're going the devil's direction, why would he bother you? But thank God. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bible with you tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. The Bible says that the Old Testament, Paul said in the New Testament, that this Old Testament was written for our example and for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so there are principles that we gain from looking at these events, these things that took place in the lives of the people with whom God was in covenant with. Now, we realize that we have a better covenant established upon better promises, thank God. We live in the new covenant, better covenant. But that doesn't mean we just throw out the old. In fact, when the Apostle Paul told Timothy, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable, this was the scriptures. These were the scriptures that he was talking about. So the Old Testament is inspired, but it's inspired to give us admonition, training, and to encourage us and to help us. And we can see great principles here. And so in this tonight, I mean, this section of scripture is used in teaching on leadership and different things of that sort. It's an outstanding section of scripture. In this section of scripture, Moses' leadership and ministry paradigm was forever changed. The way he thought about leadership and ministry, the way that he operated, it changed during this time period. We see a godly counselor sent to him in the name of his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest of God, who gives him some godly counsel. And then, but there's some statements I want to get to that I think that apply to us today, in a sense. And actually, we don't have time to cover this in its entirety. I mean, you could spend multiple sessions on this, and I have done that in the past here in this church and other places. And so, but I want to look at one thing. But we're going to begin in verse 13, if you would. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow, or on the next day, that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Have you seen that commercial with the little kids? What if, you know, if people didn't pay attention to you, and the little girl goes up and gets the number, and they're on 14B or A, and she's got 83? Yeah. That's what was happening there. They're standing, all right, from morning into evening. And when Moses, his father-in-law, saw all that he did, I like how the King James says it, to the people. You know, sometimes you can do ministry for people, or you can do it to them. Anyway, he said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why do you sit yourself alone and all the people stand by thee from morning into evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that you're doing is not good. Now, when I first read that, I thought I had misread. I went back and read it again, because Moses here says, look, people come to me and I tell them what God's word says about their situation. Now, how many of you want to know what God's word says about your situation? All right. And then his father-in-law said, what you're doing is not good. I was in shock. You mean to tell me that telling people what the word of it wasn't good? It wasn't what he was doing. It was how he was doing it that comes into question here. And here he tells him, verse 18, thou or you will surely wear away, both you and this people that is with thee or with you. I'm going to un-King James this as I read it, okay? For this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone. And you know, when God has a calling on your life, and every one of us are called, Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I pray that you would walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. It says vocation in the King James, it's the same word. The calling wherewith you are called. The Bible talked that Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 that we would know what is the confident expectation of his calling on our life. And then in Ephesians 4, about 7, 8, says there is only one hope of his calling. Every one of us has a calling from God, a divine invitation to participate in God's kingdom and in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the moment you were born again, the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord, as Pastor, you know, Pastor Hagin was in Romans chapter 10 today talking about, you know, in the know, knowing what we have and who we are in Christ and being in the know. And when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we're saved, the Bible said, right? Believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess. The moment that took place, you became a child of God. I became a child of God. And but there's an aspect of that, if you thought about this, also that heaven is now our home. We're now called ambassadors in this earth. We're in the world, but we're not of it any longer. Yeah, we still bear Adam's natural human body. And that human body is, even though it's redeemed from sickness and disease, this body is going to be transformed. There's coming a redemption, hallelujah, for this body. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. That you're not taking this to heaven with you. It's going to be something better. Amen. Amen. And so, I say heaven, I mean, when I say that, I mean eternity, glory to God. But, and so in that sense, you know, you wonder sometimes, why are we still here? What is the purpose? What possible purpose could God have to leave his children in a hostile world with a sworn enemy? Why would God leave us here as ambassadors in a foreign land to us now? An ambassador works to him and to her what is a foreign country. In other words, it's not the country of their birth. It's not the country of their citizenship. This is not any longer the country or the land of our birth or our citizenship. We are of heaven. Well, not the only, because, you know, I would not be so pretentious to say that this is the only, that I would know the only reason. But I think one of the big reasons this has helped me is that because God still has a work to do here, and he's doing it through you and I. Because there's others that don't know him. There's others that don't believe or they haven't heard. And how can they call upon him if they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Glory to God. Well, you know, you may never stand behind a pulpit, but as a child of God, you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching those, be reconciled to God. And that's our message. And so we have a part in this. And so he told him, he said, you're not able to do it yourself alone. So here our point is, no matter what God's called you to do, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to be able to accomplish it by yourself. You're going to have to do it in conjunction and in chorus with, if you understand the use of that word, together. We're going to have to work together. None of us can do anything God called us to do in and of ourselves. Well, and what do you know about God? If he says that, he's telling that to Moses. If I can't do it myself, guess what? He's going to provide others to help. Well, then not only are they going to help me, but guess what? I'm going to be helping them. You know, now wouldn't it be something? You see it in action at every service we have here. Wouldn't it be something that Sunday morning pastor, you know, he gets here early and opens up this vast building, opens up every door, you know, that needs to be open. You know, he goes and he starts off with, he has an ushers meeting. And then he meets back here at 8:30, you know, he gets them going. And he's got to run back here and do the choir, do the sound check. He's running back and forth from the stage and back here. And then he's, you know, meeting with the connection team, getting them going and all this, making sure all the school of the Bible, you know, and he teaches for a little bit. One class runs the next class, teaches in that class, goes over here and runs back over here, gets in, slides in, you know, right in time for this service. That's what Moses was doing. He's doing it himself. Now, we don't see that. Why? Because everybody, people involved here All right. Some of them wear a shirt. You can tell what they're doing. Others aren't, you know, not in any certain type of dress or uniform, but they're all involved in helping and the ministry so that no one person has to do it alone. And we're called to work with one another. So he goes on here to say verse 19, he said, now listen to my voice and I will give you counsel and God will be with you. You be for the people to God, that you may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws. So teaching the word, yes, teach the word of God. And show them the way in wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. And so we see the classic training method here that somebody thinks they came up with, but it's been God's idea all along. Teach them, show them, release them.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. It's God's plan all along. So we see that here. But we read that. I want to get to verse 21 here. And moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And so I was, I saw this. I was getting ready to head to our campus in Bogota, Colombia, and they'd asked me to come and teach on some leadership things, biblical leadership. And so I was reading through this, and I was reading this. This was over 13 years ago. It was April of 2002. And so I was reading this, and just on the inside, I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard the Lord just ask this question. You know, how many have ever had God ask you a question? Boy, you know, you get ready, because when God asks you a question, you're about ready to learn something you've never known before. You know, he said this, have you noticed here the four characteristics of the people that I told Moses to look for? I said, well, I read. He took me back to able men, people with God-given abilities. God-given abilities. Then he says, people that fear the Lord, the fear of God. They have a reverence for God. People of truth, integrity, and then hating covetousness. Later on, as I was studying that, I heard this phrase, people that don't have a price. I mean, you can't have me. You don't have enough money. I don't have a price. You know, well, everybody's got a price. No, Jesus already paid my price. Thank you very much. All right. But those things, and then he said this to me, and I wrote it. I've written every Bible that I open, that I get, that I started new. I wasn't using this Bible then, but I copied it over. He said, teach these principles from the standpoint of those whom God has given the abilities also, not just the leader, because Moses needs help. Now, he didn't say, even though he's teaching, he told him, you teach ordinances and laws, teach them, show them, release them. But he said, look for people that have God-given ability who already are walking in the fear of the Lord, who already are people of truth. Of course, you can look at that more than one way. People that love the word and people of integrity, you know. And then people, they're hating, because you realize when you're sitting to make judgments over people, if you are covetous, your decision can be purchased. Is that right? All right. And so he says here, look for those people. And so I heard this phrase, get ready, Moses needs help. Now, who's Moses? Moses is the God-called, God-ordained person in that position of leadership in whatever ministry that is. Does that make sense to you? The God-ordained, God-called person. Now, you realize that they're not... Moses was, there's a lot of things about Moses don't bring into that. Moses was, you know, a type of Christ in the situation, a forerunner. We're not a forerunner of Christ, but we are his representative. But Moses is a leader, all right? You know, what if, here again, I talked about Pastor Hank, Mrs. Denise Burns, she's the pastor over student ministry. What if she was running around trying to teach every class by herself? Okay. What if she had all the children at Raymond Bible Church in one classroom at one time and she was the only one in there? You think, notice he said, if you keep doing this, you're going to wear out. You think she might wear out? But what else happens? The people she's trying to minister to get worn out. See, it works in both those. So, in looking at this, you know, as I said, I wrote it in my Bible like that, and I started thinking about these four things, and it was interesting to me, you know, I thought about this. Most chairs have four legs. Each leg is designed to help support the weight of the chair and the person sitting upon it. If one of the legs is missing, how many of you know the chair is dangerous to sit in? So it's not just that we magnify one of these over another God-given ability. Thank God for ability. We may talk a little bit about it here. That's kind of the direction I want to go, but we're not going to spend hours doing it tonight. We could, like I said, you could spend hours on this. Most thinking people wouldn't attempt to sit in a chair with three legs if it's supposed to have four. Now, I realize you could design a chair that would have three legs. All right, but most of us fluffy people aren't going near that three-legged chair. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay, but you know, each supporting leg has to be in place for the chair to fulfill its purpose. Well, these abilities, but think about this: how much more is that a case that the supporting members of any local church, when we are in our place, when we come ready and are a vital part of what God's doing in the earth today, when we ready ourselves, when we discover and develop our God-given ability, when we have a real reverence and fear of the Lord, when we are people of integrity and people of the Word of God, and we don't have a problem, we hate covetous, we're ministering to everybody, we don't have a price, we can't be bought, we've got those things in place, then we are ready to fulfill what God has for us to do. And so the world, you realize this, we can develop these things. We can increase and fine-tune our abilities. We can live in the fear of the Lord. We can, and I'm telling you right now, the world's looking for men and women of truth and integrity. I don't know about you, I am tired of lies and deceptions. Now the world, you understand the world is not going to, because the God of this world, the little g God of this world and world system, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And so anytime you come across a liar, you know who they're yielded to. Come on. You know, but the world's looking, and we have God's supply. He meets all of our needs, so we don't need to covet anything. So he says, provide out of all the people, able men, people of ability. Now, when I hear the word of able or ability, one of the things I think of is potential. Potential. Sometimes, you know, others can see your potential and you can't really see it. Now, potential can be a cause of great joy. It can also be a tremendous frustration when you hear people, they haven't lived up to their potential. How many of you are sports fans, or professional sports fans, or college sports? Have you been excited about a certain player, but then they didn't live up to their potential? All right, and you become frustrated. I'm talking about you're really a fan. You become frustrated over it, and there's a lot of reasons why. We're not going to get into why that doesn't happen. But ability speaks of what could be. It speaks of what is expected from something or someone. You know, when someone does what they say they've lived up to their potential. Yet, you know, many don't reach their potential. You know, probably one of the greatest stories, a couple, you know, really good stories of that are, one of them would be probably still the standard of all basketball players ever, Michael Jordan. You know, Michael didn't make his varsity team his first time he tried out. And people say, well, they cut him. Well, it didn't mean he wasn't on a team. He was on the JV team. Some people read that and think, oh, you know, Michael just sat home the whole season. No. But he just didn't sit there, you know. He had great ability, but he didn't let it lie dormant. It's reported that he had an unbelievable work ethic. He didn't allow himself to be lazy and let his ability that he had remain, the ability he had remain in the potential phase. Now you think about all the, you know, game-winning shots and great plays and different things that you ever saw him do. It was not a result of just having ability. It was the result of coupling that ability with hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of hard work and practice. In coaching and playing, I was privileged enough to play college golf and coached our team here at Rhema for a while. And one of the things that you hear in golf, and you could see a couple players that look like they have the same, but the difference between this person and that person is this person has been out there until their hands bled, swinging the golf club, practicing. This person never paid that price. All right? And he said, well, and if that person judged that it's not that important to me, I understand that. But I think of fulfilling what God has called us to do and using the abilities God gave us is worth the price, no matter what it is to pay. Does that make sense to you? And so, that ability to, that working hard, you can take someone of average ability, and through hard work, they can outdo a person with great ability. See it over and over and over in life. See it in ministry. You see it in just regular, you see it in business. You see it in a lot of different areas. Praise the Lord. There's a story of a boy named Raymond. Raymond had every problem in the book. He had a dysfunctional home. He had diagnosed acute shyness. He had horrible eyesight. And according to his scores and that, he had zero academic performance. Yet in 1 month, this middle school age child made up 7 years of math. See, he had the ability all along, yet it was not developed. Now, we won't get to it tonight, but the end of that story is, they asked Raymond what happened during that month. Well, that school had instituted a program where they brought computers into the classroom. This has been a long time ago, but brought computers into the classroom. And they asked Raymond, what's the difference, because he just didn't participate in class, but when he got in front of that computer, something happened to him. And as he logged in, the computer would say, but he said, what's the difference? He said, when I'm here at school, everybody in my class calls me a retard. But when I log on to the computer, it calls me Raymond. Amen. See, don't listen to what the world's telling you can and cannot do. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Pastor's been trying to help us see, on Sunday mornings here for a while, helping us see what does God say about you. Yes. Hallelujah. What's his name for you? His name for you: saved, healed, delivered, set free, prosperous, glory to God. Able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, more than a conqueror. Amen. But over the years, you hear about people with ability. Now, we're talking about ability. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not magnifying ability over faithfulness, but I'm going to tell you that sometimes faithfulness is magnified over ability, and it shouldn't be. Now, let's read this scripture here, but then I'll give you an example. I've used it before, but I think you understand here. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this: moreover, it is required. Tell your neighbor, it's required. Now, see, some folks don't like that in today's thinking of Christianity, that there's requirements. But there are. If you're going to stand before God and hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Not enter into heaven, you're already in heaven. But enter into the joy of heaven that's available. Because you did what God gave you to do, then there's some requirements involved. You're going to have to do God's will, God's way, according to God's plan. Now here he says this: it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful, and thank God for faithful people. And we could spend a lot of time on that. However, I want to talk more about ability tonight. Ability, faithfulness is great, but ability is invaluable together with that faithfulness. Now, let's just say you got yourself in a situation where you're in need of surgery. Who do you want to perform that surgery? The most faithful person in the hospital or the most talented and able surgeon? Because the most faithful person I mean, they may be the front desk welcome person who's invaluable. They're needed, right? And they might be the most faithful person at the hospital, but I don't want them operating on me. Does that make sense to you? You want the people with ability. All right? And so ability is important. Now, we see it. You know, how many of you love to worship God? Let me see your hands. You just love to worship God. All right, leave your hand up if you can sing. If you can't sing, put your hand down. A lot less hands up right now. Put your hand down. All right, you realize this. Oh, it's wonderful. We rejoice with you that you love to worship God, but we're not giving you a microphone. That's why we have auditions for the choir and for the, you know. Hey, man, there's ability. You might be faithful. Now, I heard a person say this one time, and I realized when they said this, they had never, ever run a soundboard. They said, oh, I can take any faithful person and teach them how to run a soundboard. You can't. I'm telling you what, if you can't hear the right things, you can't run the soundboard. I don't care if you can push every button and you might be able to take the board apart and put it back together. But if you don't have an ear for it, we don't want you running sound. See, but God, thank God, he hasn't left us without ability. Each and every one of you has received a gift from God and gifts from God. Depending on whatever his calling is, the gifts come to help you fulfill the calling on your life. Tell your neighbor, I'm called. And I'm gifted. Now, I know you may not have been in the gifted classes in school growing up, but I'm here to tell you right now, in the kingdom of God, you're gifted. And I'm going to say this, we can't and don't want to do without you. Each and every person has a part to play. And so we see this idea of ability. Go back to Exodus chapter 31. Now, God gave Moses, after this, you know, God gave Moses an incredible task of building him a tabernacle in the wilderness and different things of that sort. And he told Moses to do it, but yet, far as I can see, there's no record really in the Bible that Moses ever lifted a finger to do any of it. Yet he was responsible for it. But let's see what God did on behalf of Moses to make God's plan and God's purpose. Now, remember, he'd already told him, you can't do it yourself alone. All right. What's the say, no man's an island, right? Well, I'm the lone wolf. Yeah, lone wolves die. Did you know that? They don't survive. All right, here in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called. Now, let me say this. Just as much as he's called these people, you are called. Summons by God with a divine invitation. I have called. Now, another aspect of this is, this word called here also has, where in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, and the Lord said, and he called things, certain things. You realize that? He's called you just as much as he called the sun, and the moon, and he's called you. He's named you. I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and to carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, or commanded you. The tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all of his furniture, an altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of the service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, shall they do. Now remember, it wasn't just go out and find. Here again, what's he looking for? People whom God had given the ability to. Now, I don't know what your ability, I don't know what God has given you to do. I don't know the abilities and the talents, the gifts that in the New Testament, in the original, I don't read Greek, but I can read those who understand it, what they said about it. That the word gifts many times is the word charisma, which is an endowment of God's grace. God's grace, not just statement, but grace to enable you to fulfill God's plan. It's a divine endowment from God. Now, many of us, unaware and not discerning things, we kind of think, well, I'm just good at certain things. If you're good, it's God. Amen. And now, you know, it seems like sometimes when you're raised around the things of the church, and I wasn't born again until I was 19 years old in the summer of 1980. I wasn't born again until then, but we were raised in church and had people, you know, and always had a godly influence in our families. And go back, and I've got one of my great-grandmother's Bibles in my office that was hers. She was born in the late 1800s, and it's got all of her notes. We had that heritage in our family. And so the things of God, I noticed this, I didn't realize it, but until later on, and after it was really kind of after I graduated from Rhema and started paying attention to some things, that seemed like from an early age, I was able to hear things and write it down in a systematic kind of outline form. I read books that way. I can read it and outline it. I mean, I could sit with a book right here in front of me, and I could just type an outline off of it, just learned how to do it. And, you know, I realized later, I talked to people, and they're like, how do you do that? And I'm just like, well, it's just, I don't know. I just do it. Now I realize that's something God does for you. And I've met other people who are that way. And I'll tell you this, it's interesting. Anybody that's that way and has that ability, I can take their notes and preach off of them because I think the same way. Now, narratives, some folks, you know, because with students, we do sermons, some of them like to write out everything they're going to say. I can't do that. I just can't. I get lost reading it. Well, you know what I'm saying? But that's an ability that they have. Okay, if you're good at something and you see others aren't, thank God. God's given you an ability. Now, how do I use that to win people to Christ? Does God give me that ability just for my own personal benefit? Well, absolutely not. Remember this, the gift that God's given you has been given you to help you serve others. The gift comes to serve. It doesn't come now. Is it going to make my life? Absolutely, it's going to bless me as I use it to serve others. Amen. I mean, that ability to do that enabled me to put together some classes for a church. I had a pastor, the first church I worked at, he said, I want you to start teaching these classes. And I was able to go through that and I've got notebook after notebook after notebook in my office. I mean, I probably got hundreds of them in my office and in boxes over here of teaching outlines from different things of that. Like that. I mean, here in the back of these notes here, this is kind of my get ready note, Moses. But in the back of this, there's a great book by Terry Nance, who's a Rhema graduate, called God's Armor Bearer 2, How to Bloom Where He's Planted, Where God Has Planted You. I've got several things in there struck me that would be a benefit to others. And I've got 37 pages of outline notes there. Now, I will tell you, if you're going to do that, give the guy credit. You know, you can't steal their stuff. If it's mine, steal it. Because if I got it and it's good, it came from God. I don't really care. But I'm not going to do that to them. You understand? That's not right. You can't do that. But anyway, these notes that I put together, those teachings, were actually the beginning of a Bible college that started in the nation of Kenya. That's now under Vidar now and in part of Rhema Kenya. But that happened years ago, put that together, and God was able to use it, you see. And I thought it was just, I mean, if you go back to my high school, I mean, taking notes in class in high school, I was writing notes down in that way. And I used to be a lot more strict on myself because if I had an A, you had to have what? B. And if you have one, you have to have two. Now, that's kind of difficult sometimes with some people because they don't teach that way or lecture that way. But I'm not quite as strict on that as I used to be. Used to just, oh, I was just, what am I going to do? They don't have, right? They don't have it. But notice here that when Moses, he gave Moses the plan, but he gifted other people He said, I'm going to give you the plan. And Moses had all that. Now think about it. If these people, Bezaleel, the son of Uri, of the tribe of Judah, if Aholiab, of the tribe of Dan, and others had not been willing to use the ability that God had given them, then we wouldn't have an Ark of the Covenant. There wouldn't have been the priestly garments of Aaron. Think about that. And it was God's plan. Sometimes people say, well, if it's God's will, it's just going to happen. Now, there's certain things, you know, Jesus was coming, and he's coming again. And you're not going to be able to stop it. But things in your life and in my life, it's certain things. Just because it's God's will doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's requirements. Now, what's your and my requirement? Okay? Nobody, doesn't matter who they are, nobody can do anything independent of anybody else. Everything we do, we're a body. It affects one another. Last night, I was walking out of our bathroom, and I caught the little toe of my left foot on my wife's purse, sitting by just outside the door of the bathroom. And when I woke up this morning, it was still talking to me. What happened to that little toe affected the entire body. Okay? And you think about it. If you've ever had part of your body not cooperate and become inactive, the rest of the body suffers. So what about us here? You know, we are not, the entire body of Christ would not fit in this building, but we are the local body of Rhema Bible Church, right? In that the body of Christ is a unique organism. There's the body universal, but then there's the local bodies of Christ. And each one of them has their own strengths and is focused in doing, and praise God for them all. Amen?
Amen.
All right? But God evidently has called you to be a part of this. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? What abilities has God given you? All right? Now see, some of you, God's given you great ability in business. And you've risen with those abilities. You've risen to a position that maybe financially, maybe you own your own business. You're able to be a financial supporter in a greater way than someone else might be, even though we all tithe, we all bring offerings. But you are able to do it in a greater way because of the ability that other people don't have that business ability. If they did, everybody would be in business, be doing what you're doing. That's why I get a kick out. You come to my seminar and I'll teach you how to do what I'm doing. If you don't have the gifts to do what that person's doing, they can teach you all they want. You can buy all their material. All you did was put money in their pocket. Right. Amen. Amen. That's why we're careful around here. There's not just one way to pastor a church. We teach principles. Right? The number one principle taught at Rhema is be led by the Spirit of God and do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Amen. But we don't have a seminar of this is how you have to pastor a church. Because everybody's got to do it with the abilities God's given them. All right. So how are we going to, you see, all of us, you, me, all of us, as we use the abilities God has given us. And we won't get there several scriptures, but I'm thinking of Ephesians 4:16 as we all bring our supply of the Spirit, the body of Christ edified or built up, as we all do our part, you see. And me, let's say I'm a hand and I don't have to try to do what the foot does. I'm doing what the hand does because the foot's doing what it's doing. I don't have to try to walk on my hands. How many of you can stand up and walk on your hands a little bit? Not very many, see. Some people can, but most of us, no. Because the feet were made to walk on. Okay? But when the foot does what it's supposed to do, the hand, then we're going to get a whole lot more accomplished, and the body of Christ is going to be. If you can get people in a church doing what God's called them to do, you see people, well, there's just no excitement in our church. I'm guaranteeing you people aren't in their place. Because when people get in their place, there's a passion about it. You don't have to beg people. They're passionate about it. Hallelujah. And when they're doing what they're passionate about, and I'm doing what I'm passionate about, and we're all for, you know, one for all and all for one, that's not a bad thing, folks. Then we're going to accomplish what God has for us. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. That's just a little Bible lesson, some short, get us started thinking about some things. I feel I like to go that direction and teach those things because remind us that each of us has a part. This isn't, here we're 30 years, all right? This isn't Pastor Hagin's church. God's placed him in this position. But if you think about it in relation to our story and our position, now don't go up to him and call him Moses, but he's our Moses and he needs help. He can't do it himself alone. Because if he does, what happens? He's going to wear out. We're going to wear out. Okay? So let's all endeavor to discover what we're at. And you say, how do I discover that? Well, spend some time in prayer and get involved. It's a whole lot easier to turn a moving car than it is one that's sitting still. All right? Let's stand up together. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. Father, help each and every one of us to know our place, to know our giftings, to know our callings. Father, we thank you that I thank you that you give us each a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that each one of us would know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. We declare it. And we declare it not only with our mouth, but we declare it with our actions, that we serve a living God who lives and breathes in us and who has gifted us and anointed each and every one of us to fulfill a divine purpose, a divine calling, that we might do our part, that we might win the lost, help the sinner to know Christ, let the sick be healed. Hallelujah. The bound be delivered. The blind see and the lame walk. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we honor you tonight. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place without coming down here. The ladies on my right, your left, the men on my left, your right. Come on down, talk to them. If you need prayer for anything at all, you come see them just a moment as we dismiss. Connections team, if you'll find our first-time guests, please, and take them. We've got a special gift for you if you're a first-time guest. From Pastor Mrs. Hagin and from Rhema Bible Church. We're so glad you're here. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap as they're headed to their place. Won't take you very long. Just go ahead and go. What, Brother Bill, you said we're giving away 8 tracks. Is that what you said the other day? Oh, man. I heard somebody saying, you know, the whole album had to be good when you had 8 tracks. Because you couldn't skip ahead. The whole album had to be good on an 8-track. Glory to God. Amen. All right. All right, students. We'll see you in the morning. Be in your seat by 8:30 in the morning, by the way. All right. The rest of us, God bless you so much. Thanks for coming to Rhema Bible Church. See you on Wednesday night.